tonight. We'd like to follow through with the reading of the Word. Turn to the 78th division of the Psalms. Stand with us, please, as we read. division of the Psalms. I want to read verse 9 and verse 10. And then I want to drop over to verse 30. Verse 9 and verse 10. And then I want to drop over to verse 30. Amen. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. Verse 30, they were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouth, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sin still and believe not for His wondrous works. Therefore their days did He consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When He slew them, then they sought Him. And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was the rock of the high God, that Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth and lie unto Him with their tongue. For their heart was not right with Him, neither was they steadfast in the covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yet many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh and wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke Him in wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, we realize, O God, that we are faced tonight with no doubt many people, Lord, that stand in the need of help or encouragement or strengthened. And we ask Thee tonight, if ever You came and anointed the servant of God, would You do it another time, O God? Hide us behind the cross. May our life, O God, be pushed aside and only Christ be seen. Lord, we're not in this thing for popularity. We want to see the glory of God manifested. We plead the blood. We plead the blood. Help us and deliver this message tonight. Get glory unto Thyself in Jesus' name. And we'll praise Thee for it. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some time ago, I was in preparation trying to get the mind of God and regards to the Scripture tonight. And if I would use a subject or a thought, I would like to use limiting the Holy Ghost. I believe that's one of the most tragic things that we could ever do is to limit or try to limit the Holy Ghost. But we're seeing this happen. The Bible says there in verse 41, they turned back and tempted God, limiting the Holy One of Israel. I've been kind of thinking about it just for a little bit, how we could limit God. How you and I could limit God. But then again, I thought, of course, we all know that it's impossible to limit God. But we try. You see, God is infinite. Amen. And we cannot tie God's hand even though we try. There's no way. God will have the last say.
Yes, sir.
God will be the ultimate judge in our life and in every life. Praise His name. I want you to notice here, this text is referring to an event connected with the history of Israel, of the Israelites. Over in the book of Numbers 14 and 1, through 4, the spies, notice that, had just brought back an evil report. They lied about the land of Canaan. Now, I want you to note, these preachers did. Did you hear me? There were 12 of them sent out. And 10 of them come back, and they lied about what was going on over there. It's still going on today. You can't live this life. Have you heard them say that? By the grace of God, you can.
Amen.
You can't live it within your own strength, friend, but you can live it by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. God can help us if we want help. Praise His name. Then I thought here, but you remember what happened if God killed every one of them? All 10 of those liars. God has ways of destroying those that try to defeat His purpose. We're living in a time, and someone said, "Preacher, how do you feel about false religions?" I said, "Oh, God, handle them however you want to." Amen. God wanted to annihilate them, it'd do all right with me. Amen. We'd have less problems if a lot of them were annihilated and we got rid of. Amen. Now, you can say amen, ouch, move up, or grow, grunt, or whatever you want to do, but I've got a message on my heart tonight. Praise the Lord. How many of you want me to preach it tonight?
Amen.
You that don't want me to preach, I'm going to anyway. Amen. So you just hang on. Amen. I believe that God is trying to awaken the slumbering conscience of individuals' hearts. And we as believers tonight need to be awakened to the reality that this thing is going to be fulfilled. Jesus said, "If I go away, I shall come again." Amen. And I believe He's coming with all my heart. The people murmured and they cried unto Moses. And they selected a captain, and in their hearts, they returned to Egypt. Now, if you look over in Numbers, you can find where I'm getting this from. I have seen the church lifted to a high peak of glory. But because something happened, or someone did not get their way, and became disgruntled in their soul. Hello? They began to try to cause problems. Amen. I kind of feel like David. I was once young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the Lord's people forsaken or righteous begging bread. Hallelujah. I didn't have to beg for bread tonight. Brother walked in and gave me a full loaf of bread still hot. Now, don't you go out to my car and get that either. Amen. They may have another killing on their hand. Lord, help us. The reality of limiting God. I want you to think carefully with me tonight. Some folk are so foolish, and I say this carefully, so foolish and vain in their thoughts as to think that God, listen to me, that God overrides everything, but not so. God doesn't forget things like you and I. And you know, one fellow said, "Do you use notes, preacher?" I said, "I'm a noted preacher." Amen. I'm sorry, but sometimes those notes help me more than my memory. Huh? I told a lady one time, I said, a short pencil is better than a long memory. And the next day in mail, I got a little notepad with a real short pencil. I know who did it. It's my treasure. She didn't want me to make mistakes. Amen. But let's notice tonight, I feel uncomfortable and even trying to deliver a truth such as this, but we're living in the closing, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but we're living in the closing dispensation of time. Yeah. Folks, it's coming to a head. Yeah. We're drawing close to the end, and I just heard today on the news that the Democrats has put the hammer down. Amen. And on the president. And they're going to withdraw all his funds, you know. And if he does, all those boys over there are going to be killed because there won't be nothing to support them. Now, I'm not a politician. Don't you misunderstand me. But I sure don't vote Democrat. Amen. Amen. If you're a Democrat, God can save you and help you. Amen. Lord, help us. And I still love you. Praise the Lord. I got a son. He's the strongest Democrat I ever seen in my life. Him and I, we just can't see eye to eye on anything when it comes to politics. Amen. I said, you just want your way. Well, he said, what about you? I said, I want mine too. And I'm not compromising. You can be wrong if you want to. I'm still right. Hallelujah. Let's get off of that. Amen. But let's notice something here. They believed an evil report, these people did. When those 10 spies came back, and your Caleb and Josh was out there, and they were doing their best to try to bring some evidence. Now, I called him Josh. It was Joshua. They were trying to bring back some evidence of what was over there in Canaan. Praise the Lord. But here these 10 fellas came back and they began to tell, boys, you can't live it. There's no way in the world we can fight all the opposition there is in the land today. You might as well just give up and go back to Egypt. So in their hearts, they selected people as captains and headed home in their hearts. Now, marching, no, but is in their hearts. You see, that's where it starts, right in the heart. Amen. Starts right in the heart. And they select it. But listen, they believe these fellows without even making an investigation. Isn't that sad? How many of you believe evil reports without investigating? Hello? Whoop, whoop. Praise God. I feel like a hound dog. I got something treed right now. Amen. How many times do you, without investigation, believe an evil report on somebody? Come on now. Folks, we're living in a time that it's easier to believe a lie than it is to believe a truth. And the danger is that we're going to have to answer to God just like those false preachers did when God slayed 10 of them, destroyed them, annihilated them. Amen. But it's so easy because here's the crowd. Well, I know this bunch over here, and I know they wouldn't tell me anything. Listen, you need to make some investigation. I know a preacher that lost his soul over a situation like that. And there was no truth to what was told on him. Let me give you another closer example. Anybody ever know Paul Lucas? Paul Lucas, one of the finest men that ever walked on shoe leather. The first time he was saved, he was a great man of God. Huh? But a lie was told on Paul. Paul's in heaven. A lie was told on Paul. And people began to believe it. His wife even falsely accused him. Huh? Amen. Paul said, I'm not guilty. But people began to make slanderous remarks. Hello? I'm not talking about something, friend, that's going to happen. I'm talking about something that happened. And it was because of the church let him down. Because of people. Just like it was there. And they began to limit God. And they thought, no, it's 10 against 2. Surely they've got to be right. I want you to know something. It doesn't mean that they're right because there's the majority. You can still be in the minority and still be right.
Amen.
Brother James, isn't it true? Hallelujah. Yes. Sometimes we may have to stand alone. Amen.
Right.
In my heart, I believe, there's been times that I had to take a stand. And then someone said, Brother, I just don't know how you done it. I said, I don't either, unless God directed and God helped. I couldn't have done it. I want you to know, friend, I still believe in taking a stand. Amen. Brother, if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for everything.
Right.
Amen. God can deliver us. I want you to note here, they didn't even make a report or an investigation. They refused. Now notice there, they refused to budge with the minority. I'm not going to believe that little old crowd. No, sir, I believe this crowd over here, they're going the right way. I had an evangelist come in my home several years ago. And he was a pilgrim. And the merger took place, you know. And I said, my brother, which way are you going? He said, man, I've got to stay with the liberal crowd. If I don't, I'll lose a lot of meetings. I said, you just lost mine. Come on. Come on now. Are we in this thing just because that we want to gain the things of this world? You say, well, I'm not a preacher. That doesn't make any difference. We're supposed to stand for truth. We're supposed to stand for righteousness. And we find these children out there in the wilderness, they really didn't stand for anything. They just listen for someone to say something and, well, it sounds good enough, I'll accept it and go on. Amen. But that isn't what the Bible teaches, friend. Amen. Sometimes we have to be a comer outer.
Right.
Amen. 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 God help us. I said back there a few years ago, the church was splitting here and splitting there. And I said, I changed churches so much, I thought I'd just put a zipper on my name and that way zip us in, zip us out. Oh, dear Lord, help us. It got to be ridiculous. This church said, this is the way it is. And I was a young fella, and I wanted the way. I wanted the right way. And I was willing to do whatever was right. But finally, I came to grips with myself, and I said, listen, Lord, you've got to help me. I don't know what to do. I want your leadership. And God says, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I said, thank you, Lord. It's good enough for me.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. But you know, and I'm using the Kentucky language, it was a barefaced lie they told. Really did. Oh, there's giants over there. Too big for us. Brother, I've met some big giants in the church world. My general superintendent one time in the church, I'll tell you where it was at and not tell you what the church it was. See, I said we just changed so much back there. You know, church was just going here and there and doing up and down, in and out. You'd have thought there's a bunch of yo-yos. My big general came to me and I'd preached my heart out. He came to me and he said, Brother Watts, he said, you could go to town if you'd slow down just a little bit.
Well, I was a young preacher, and I didn't know, Brother Gibson, I didn't know how to answer him. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, son, tell him you're not interested in going to town. You're headed for the city. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah! I want you to know, thank God, I'm still on the way. I'm headed toward the city whose builder and maker is God. Its foundations are firm, brother. It'll not be swayed by every wind and doctrine. Praise God tonight. Bless His holy name. Oh, listen. Listen, these men didn't have the experience that they needed. They didn't have a Canaan experience. That's why they lied. When you get a Canaan experience, you quit lying. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. Still have some of them fellas around today. They tell you one thing and talk out of both sides of their mouth. Amen. They didn't have an experience of holiness, sanctification. Amen. They weren't completely delivered. But you know, Caleb and Joshua, brother, they was determined, weren't they? Did you ever do any study about them fellas? Man, I mean, they were in over their head. How many thousands of Israelites were they? Anybody like to tell me? How many? More than there was in this church tonight. Amen. Or any of the rest of the churches, or all of them together, all over the state of Indiana. Amen. And they were going to oppose those people by coming back with another report. But there was only two of them, you remember. They'd already believed what the majority said. Amen. Be careful who you believe. Amen. Our brother Watts loves you, but he's trying to help us. Praise God. We still got some of those fellows that come around and say, now be careful. Be careful. Don't you get wrapped up with that bunch, you know. And because, you know, they get just a little bit out of, they act strange. I had to take my wife to the doctor this morning, and of course she couldn't eat anything before she went. And, of course, I didn't eat anything either. Not that I didn't want it, but I just didn't because someone said, you don't have to do that. I said, well, I didn't want to eat in front of her. She had to have blood work done, and I didn't want to just, man, this is good. Oh, my, this is good. And I knew she was hungry. So we came out, and we went over to Mackey Doo's. And she got her a nice meal. I got me a sausage biscuit egg sandwich. Amen. And it was good. She says, is that all you're eating, Daddy? I looked at her plate and she had eggs, and fries, and sausage, and gravy. I better be still. I don't want to tell them. She had the works. And we were sitting there just enjoying our breakfast. And a lady came by and said, do you like that gravy? Well, I didn't, because I wouldn't eat gravy if it was painted gold. I don't like gravy. I've made tubs of it in the camps. And I'd smell it. I'd say, it smells like it's okay. Or taste it. No, you taste it. It just smells good, but I don't want it. And she said, well, it's not as good as I make. And this lady said, well, it's not as good as I make, I'm sure. And they got to talking. You know how women are, man. They could just conversate over nothing. Oh, as bad as my brother-in-law and I one day, we'd tired and we're sitting down. And I was just relaxing and there was a fly going up the screen. And I looked over and I said, I wonder how long it'd take him to get to the top.
My sister looked over and said, of all the things in this world, now you've gone to considering how long it's going to take a fly to get from one position to another. Well, to get back to the story, this fella, he came over. He said, I guess he's seen us bow our heads and pray. He said, what church you belong to? I said, well, I belong to the Bible Holiness Church. Oh, you believe in holiness? I said, yes, I do. You charismatic? I said, uh-uh. I said, I don't believe in tongues. But the Lord give me a clean one. He said, you believe in being saved and sanctified? I said, I sure do, thank God. And both of them's working. Whoopee! Hallelujah. He said, I just kind of felt like you did. He said, I was connected with the Nazarenes. I thought, how long ago? His wife had on breeches. Hair all boxed off. And jewelry on. Had those little things, you know, they call them, well, most people wear them today in their ears, but that one had it on their finger. Either that, they either have them in their ears or their nose or their tongue. And we got to talking a little bit. And he said, you know, he said, I believe in sanctification too. I said, you do? Yeah. He said, really? Said, salvation, it really begins with sanctification. I said, and all of a sudden, here come a big fellow to sit down and talk with me. Weighed about 360 pounds. Oh, Danny Goodman, very good, you know. I said, oh, Brother Goodman, I'd like to introduce you to this fellow here. He believes in sanctification. And I just putting it on. You see, I knew exactly when he said what he said, who he was. And what he believed. He was charismatic. Charismatic says, you know, all we believe in is being sanctified. It's a separation. And we got to talking with him, and they soon dismissed themselves, but said, would you pray for us? And I said, we sure will. Bless their hearts. They need help. They need help. Amen. But it's so easy to get wrapped up in some of this stuff because we believe the majority. And because a fellow shouts, that doesn't mean he's got God, friend. It's how he, when he lands on the ground and how he walks with straight in the world is going to make the difference.
That's right.
Amen. And we find this group here, they limited God. They doubted God. Oh, sure, God might be able to help us in something, but He can't defeat the giants out there. I want you to know He can. He can defeat the giants. Amen. You're going to meet some of them out there. You live long enough. Amen. Oh, I don't get around the holiness people, you know. Everybody calls them holy rollers. If I was going to be any kind, I'd want to be a holy one, wouldn't you? Amen. If I was going to be any kind of a roller, I'd want to be a holy roller. Amen. And we have a lot of those in every church on Sunday morning. They're holy. They roll over to bed and punch the clock. So it'll be another hour of sleep. It's too late when they come to church. They're already late. Amen. You see, I pastored long enough that I know that I said, I wonder where my song leader is this morning. And here he comes. Overslept. I said, no, you didn't. You punched the clock so that it wouldn't go off that another 15 minutes. Hello? Do you do that? Your pastor's depending on you for something? Your Sunday school teachers? Your class is waiting on you, and here you come. I'm so sorry. Oh, we finally made it. Aren't you glad we made it? I said, why don't you just go home? I'm not going to feel sorry for you. Amen. Let's believe the majority, you know, believe the majority and just, well, everybody's doing it. No, we're not.
We're not. I'm still a little old-fashioned. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, friends, I'd rather have God than have everything in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, God, help me. I was coming out of Canada. I was in a revival over in Canada many years ago. And I wanted to be a doctor. Would you believe that? I wanted to be a doctor. I really did. That was my ambition in life, to be a medical doctor. And I came out of Canada, and I was coming down the road, Michigan Avenue, Michigan 12, going down through Detroit, and going on to where I could come into Ypsilanti and get to my home. And I said, Oh God, I've been a failure. I said, Lord, I'm not helping anybody. I wanted to be a doctor, Lord. But the Lord spoke to me. Brother Gibbs, you know what He said? He said, son, I didn't call you to be a doctor of the body. I called you to be a doctor of the soul. Amen. That's why I like this. I was called into this. I didn't make a choice. Praise God. It wasn't my idea. I said, there's enough preachers in our family. Amen. Let them do it. I'll just double tithe and help them along. But the Lord said, uh-uh. You see, the callings of God are without repentance. Amen. We either preach it if God calls us, or we'll burn. Amen. Well, let's go a little further here. Let me give you some more. You've heard Him say, well, there's none righteous. No, not one. Nobody can live this life of holiness. Nobody can live this kind of a life. You cannot just be isolated from everything. You've got to do some of the things of the world. Well, I said, if it's of the world, I don't want anything to do with it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be unto God. You know the sad thing about it all? They believe men instead of God. Amen. And over the country tonight, friend, you find people that are being informed that you don't have to do that like that anymore. We're living in, just the age we're living in, times has changed. I want you to know God hasn't changed.
Amen.
He said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. I change not. He does not change, Brother James. Just because we change, God doesn't change.
Amen.
Come on now. Brother Drummond, He's the same God there, amen, in Russia as He is in America.
Yeah.
It takes the same power for a man to be saved wherever he's at.
Amen.
In our mission work in Guatemala, we're right down below where the Maya Indian originated there in Guatemala. And some of them are still there, seeing the places where they sacrificed young girls. Didn't sacrifice boys, girls of no value. Amen. They'd sacrifice the girls because they weren't important. They couldn't carry a spear, shoot a bow. So they got rid of them, sacrificed them to their gods. Took them on top of some of those great high piers. I've seen some over 120 feet high. And they had steps, about 18-inch steps that you climbed. I started up and got about a third of the way up and said, I'm not going no further. Amen. I didn't know if that thing was hollow on the inside. Amen. You never know. Like a pyramid, you know. I don't know what's inside of that thing. I don't want to get too close to the devil. Hello? Some people, to try anything, they're gullible. Amen. But they limit God through unbelief. One of the dangerous things today is unbelief in the church. You see, I don't see it that way. Your ideas of what you see and what you don't see don't mount to a Kentucky hill of beans.
Right.
And I say that with kindness in my heart. It doesn't mount to a Kentucky hill of beans.
Right.
What saith the Word is going to stand at the judgment of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's what's going to stand, friends. It's not my idea. Oh, it's not what I think. It's what God says.
Right.
Amen. Do you still love me?
Sure.
Praise the Lord. Well, I don't think all of you do. Because that wasn't enough volume. I can make more noise than that. Amen. I'm not going to ask you again because you just do it because I said that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love me, Brother Milton?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Do you love me, Brother Gibson? Hallelujah. Well, I got two on my side. I know my wife does. I don't have to ask her. I just got her Mother's Day present today, and she likes me. I already give it to her. So I'm so forgetful. If I don't do it in a hurry, while I'm thinking, I'll forget. So I got it over with. Amen. Now I'm expecting something nice, like a big pie or something. You know, but I can't have too much if she can make me one of those sugarless or whatever you call them, you know. Amen. Look at it with me. Through unbelief, man has been defeated. And the church has come to a standstill. And we're seeing why. Oh, they believed the spies. They believed the 10 report. And they didn't investigate, as I said. They didn't inquire. Is this true? Is that true? Oh, my. And they really got themselves all built up, you know. They don't believe, people like this don't believe in hell. They don't believe that you need to be sanctified. They feel some way that God will overlook their little shortcomings and take them in with their little pet sin.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, this is really not too bad. I had some people in my church at one time, and I seen them coming in. And I thought, that don't look like a skirt she's got on. Well, what are you looking at for? Well, I have a right to look at it. She's my church member. I'm going to look at it. And I kept looking, Brother Milton, you know, and I found out it wasn't. It was sewed in the middle, and they called them, what do they call them? Culottes.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's just a hypocritic way of saying breeches.
Right.
Amen. And the Bible tells us that a woman is not to wear that which pertaineth to a man.
Right.
What does that mean? Looks like. Well, the zipper zips on the side. I don't care if it zips in four corners, it's still wrong.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
As they would say in Guatemala, hallelujah. Gloria a Dios. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And from that time they left Egypt. They knew Canaan was in their goal. But they got halfway and they stopped. Did you know that? They got halfway and they stopped. This is where a lot of folks are coming short. Well, I don't feel like I really need that. Let me tell you something, friend. As sure as there was two, listen, books of the Bible, the old and the new, stands be saved and sanctified, an experience. As sure as there was different sacrifices given in the old covenant, there was two, always two, and they were separate. As sure as they were there, I believe that there's two works of grace to be wrought in the heart of a man.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The blood can atone. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. Now don't you forget that we have a part in the sanctification. See, God has a part, but you have a part as well. And your part is walking in the light, dressing like God wants you to, acting like God wants you to, going to places God wants you to, and staying away from places He don't want you in. Amen.
Amen.
That may sound like a
little simple truth, but nevertheless, I believe some of you are getting the idea. Amen. Praise God. They refuse to entertain him. Refuse. I'm not getting over there. Too much over there. I'm not going. They want to go on. Go on over to get sanctified. I'm afraid. Look at all that I've got to oppose and everything that's there. We're just like a bunch of grasshoppers. Well, you can stay a grasshopper if you want to. I want to be a kangaroo. Hallelujah. Whoopee. Thank God. I'm going to Canaan. You can stay back here and kind of croak and just kind of scratch yourself. Go, if you want to. Brother, I'm going to be something that God wants me to be. I'm not spooling around and coming short. Why take side bacon when you can have ham, huh? I tell you, get in there and get something good. Hallelujah. Amen. Souls will be in hell. Listen to me. Some people are dilly-dallying around too long about this experience. Amen. They're playing around too long. Amen. It didn't take me all 6 months to get sanctified. Hallelujah. I got saved, brother. The Lord wonderfully done a good job on me. I come to the house and I got to talking to my mother. I said, Mom, I'm still troubled. I said, I don't know what it is. I never heard about sanctification. I couldn't even spell it. Still hard for me sometimes. Amen. I need to go to the printers and take some lessons, maybe. Amen. Well, I've gone a little further since then. Thank the Lord. But Mom said, honey, she always addressed us boys after she got saved. She'd say, honey, what you need is to get sanctified holy. I said, what's that, Mommy? And she couldn't explain it. She's an old Kentucky gal, didn't have any education, formal education. And she couldn't explain it. She said, well, it's gooder than what you got the first time. It's good, better than the best. And it was gooder. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I went out in the old shed house out there, just a shed. And I got down on my knees and I began to pray. And I said, oh, God, I don't know what this is, but there's something really, really bothering me. And I said, Lord, Mom said I could be sanctified. Whatever it is, Lord, would you do the work? And I kept on praying, kept on praying, kept on digging. Hallelujah. Didn't get nowhere that day. Brother, the next day I kept a digging and I kept a digging. I didn't get nowhere. But I heard the birds start chirping. Hallelujah. Praise God. The third night, went to church in the revival. And the preacher hardly got to preaching until God said, now's the time I want to sanctify you holy. Hallelujah. And I jumped and run to that altar. Amen. I didn't wait 6 months, brother. Third night after God saved me, God sanctified me holy. Someone said, what's old Junior doing? Is he back to it already? No! He was seeking heart holiness. Hallelujah. Thank God when I came up from the altar, I knew I had it, and I think they did. Hallelujah. My older sister that we've been praying for, here she'd been sick, and I've requested prayer. I didn't know. I was so happy. I was a young man, and she said, honey, did you realize you was hugging everybody, even some women? I said, oh, dear Lord. I really didn't mean any harm. I didn't even know. I was just hugging and going on. I was like a free will Baptist, you know. Amen. And them's a hugging this bunch of people I ever seen in my life. Amen. I went to a mission service to a free will Baptist church. They invited me. And I went to that service. And I'll tell you, when the service is over, I know these women didn't have all that many husbands. All these men to hugging these women. And I thought, well, man, I don't want to do that. And I kind of looked for the door. Amen. Well, I've got hugging religion, but it's in a different way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, listen. We can get in trouble. The children see our habits. Our home. How we act at home. They hear the fussing, and they hear the arguments, and they hear all of that. Lord, help me. Did anybody ever hear T.M. Anderson preach? Amen. One of the greatest speakers ever heard. Hallelujah. We was in an indoor camp meeting in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Now that's spelled Y-P-S-I-L-A-N-T-I. Ypsilanti. Amen. And we were there. And God was moving in the... It's a Nazarene church. Can you believe that? Boy, I tell you, God was over them people. Hallelujah. You see, if we could just get all of our Nazarenes back to where they used to be, you folks wouldn't even stand the light. We wouldn't be able to carry a light for them to run by. Come on now. Amen. Sister, I can remember when they was on fire. Hallelujah. They'd get to shouting, brother, and jumping and running the aisles. Amen. Glory to God, I'd like to see some of that. Amen. People running and shouting and praising God like we used to. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, help us, Lord. My, my, my. Brother Anderson, as he was preaching, he told this story. He said in his church, he had a large church. I think he had over 300, if I remember. I could be wrong there. But anyway, he had a large church. And he went down to the youth department and he was talking to the young people. And he said, who's in charge here? And they said, well, John's the spokesman. We don't have a president of the youth society. But Brother Anderson, you know we're not saved and we can't feel good in carrying that title. So we just kind of selected John over there just to kind of supervise us. He said, and Brother Anderson, you'd have to know him. He just broke down in tears coming down his eyes. And he said, young people, he said, why aren't you saved? Why aren't you giving your heart to the Lord? He said, John, tell him. Now listen to this. And I stand at record of heaven. This came from the lips of Tim Anderson. And that John got up and he said, Brother Anderson, I hate to tell you what I'm going to tell you. But he said, you've asked and I'm going to tell you. He said, my mother and daddy comes to church here and said they get up and shout and they just let her roll. But before they come to church, they had a big argument. Said, Brother Anderson, if my mother and daddy would live at home like they profess at church, I'd be a Christian. Brother Anderson got up there in front of his congregation, as I said, a large congregation, and he broke down and he fell over the pulpit, he said, and his heart was crushed. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I can't preach this morning or tonight. I've got to tell you what's on my heart. I just came out of the youth department. And they inform me, the reason they're not serving God is because of their parents. And he related the whole story. He said, what are you going to do about it? He said, the altar's open. He said, over 2/3 of his congregation came to the altar and prayed and asked God for forgiveness. Be careful what you say, because little ears hear a lot. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. But they can't help from hearing it if it's constantly over the table. I wonder how many preachers has been eat every Sunday over Sunday meal. They told a story one time
you know, and they was going to have going to have a preacher in, and you probably heard it. They was going to have the preacher to come, and said, "What's that old turkey coming this week for?" And so I guess we'll just have to let him come. And the little boy came up to the preacher. "So sure glad to see you, brother." Said, "What are you going to have for dinner today, sonny?" "Oh," said, "I guess we're going to have that old buzzard. That's what Mommy said." That's the preacher. That old buzzard. Don't you think that affects a little child? I know that may sound really elementary, but I want you to know, friend, it's that bad in some places. I've been all over this country, and I find there is places, as I said the other night, I wish that God said, "No, don't you go there." But I went, and I got set on. But some of them set on me got burnt. It got too hot for them, and they left. They didn't come back. They made about half a meeting, and then they started thinning out. You know, things got to getting thick, and they thinned out. Amen. Help us now, Lord. Amen. They professed to love God with their hearts, but was not right in His sight. Let me hurry. If God would turn on the searchlight tonight, even in this congregation, God would turn on the searchlight, you'd be surprised what you'd find. How many would be willing tonight to let God expose your life up here on a big full screen? Amen. I said the other night, you know, back years ago when I was a sinner and I watched television, they had on that program, "This Is Your Life." And I wonder if we would be ashamed to let God show our life to the world. Now, I want you to remember something. If He did, He'd never show that sin that's been forgiven. It's gone. But He'd show your life from the time you was justified. Freely in His sight. Amen. Limiting God. Can God still do it today? Yes, He can, friend. Amen. God sees the envy and jealousy and suspicion. People are so jealous anymore over little things. I've lived long enough, I've seen some of that. Oh my. Wouldn't walk. Wouldn't do anything for the Lord. Fenced God in. Tied His hands. Refused to budge. Not going to do it. The results of limiting God, I want you to notice there, they turned back in verse 41. Look at it. Where did they turn back to, preacher? From what they had been freed from. Back to the leeks, the garlic, and the onions, in Egypt. Bondage. Bondage. Not freedom, bondage. That's where we are, a lot of us. Come on. And I say this with kindness in my heart. In a congregation like this, we ought to have people every night on their feet praising God and hallelujah. Well, I just barely live close enough to make it to church, preacher. And if I live any closer to the Lord, people might think something is wrong with me. I'd just be a fanatic and I'd get up and test. I don't care if you get up 25 times. Had one man in the church that I pastored, and I could count on him getting up at least 3 times and testifying every service. Sure. I started to say, "Why do you do that?" And then I knew, because nobody else was. Amen. God help us. Do you still love Him? Praise the Lord. You ought to tell Him once in a while. Amen. You ought to let it be known in the church once in a while. Hallelujah, I love the Lord. I'm glad that I'm saved. Thank God I'm freed from a sinful life. I've been delivered. God sanctified me holy. Well, hallelujah. I tell you, friend, it's worth telling. Thank God. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Notice, if you would,
They turn back to the leeks and the garlic, to their bondage. The old places and old things that they'd forsaken. You hang around in just a justified experience and don't go on into holiness, it won't be long. You'll be right back in the leeks and the garlic.
Right.
Let me tell you a little story. I used to like to race. Amen. I had a nephew who was killed in Daytona 500 doing 182 miles an hour. And he was driven into the sidewall. His car went up 15 foot in the hour and exploded. Amen. He went out into eternity without God. Other of my nephews, they had big cars and they would get on the tracks and I would hoop for them. I'd holler, come on! Put on! You know. I was all for it. But one day Jesus came into my heart and He saved me. Amen. Some months later, they was having some big races in Michigan. I went to see my baby sister. She was just a little old thing. I told her many times, I said, "Sis, honey, you wouldn't weigh 80 pounds soaking wet with a raincoat on. You're so little." And I said, "I just thought I'd come and see you. You need Jesus, and I'd like to talk to you about the Lord." Now, she said, "I don't want to talk about the Lord. I'm glad you came, but I don't want to talk about it." I said, "You won't hear it anyway, unless you run me off." Well, she wouldn't run me off. Amen. So I'd give her about 24 to 48 hours of sermon. Amen. And my nephew came in, her boy came in, Larry, and he said, "Uncle Ben, we're going to have a big race tonight. Come and go with us." I said, "I won't be going." "Oh, come on." He said, "Nobody don't know you up here." Huh? Isn't that nice? Nobody knew who I was. Hey, but I was clear up in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Nobody knew me in Kalamazoo. "Nobody knows you, Uncle Ben. Why, you remember when you used to have those and you just shout and jump and whoo, come on, boys." I was right there. I was a pulling for him. Amen. I'd pay $5 to get in that demolition derby and just go head on with another car. Well, if you won, you got 50. Well, you made 45. That's not too bad. I said, "No, Larry, I'm not going." "Oh, he bagged me. I said, "Larry," I said, "you just might as well forget it. I'm not going." He looked at me squarely in the eye and he said, "Uncle Ben, if you would have went, I'd have been disappointed." He was a testing me out. And I enjoyed it, friends. I did. I enjoyed it. I wanted to be there on the first lap. Amen. Amen. But he said, "Uncle Ben, if you'd have went, I'd have been disappointed in you." I said, "You don't have to worry, Larry. I don't have any desire anymore." Hallelujah. I have higher goals now. Praise God. Why did they turn back? Why did these people turn back? They refused to go on in holiness or to get sanctified. That's why they went back. That's why a lot of people tonight isn't as spiritual as they used to be. Come on. Amen. Well, I've been to the altar twice. I've been there several times. That's not what it takes. No, that's not what it is. No. I believe the blood can cleanse from all sin. And the same blood, thank God, can just go a little deeper than the stain's gone. And remove that desire.
Yes, sir.
That Adamic nature that's way down there, seated down there, that no one knows about but you and God. And many times, it's never known until it explodes. But it will explode. Amen. I've had that to happen to me. Amen. God was merciful. Praise His holy name. He was merciful for a while. Verse 38, look at it. He was compassionate in the same verse. He forgave their iniquities in the same verse. Many times He's turned anger away from you, friend. He's turned death away from your doorsteps because He loved you. He cared for you. We had a tornado hit Ann Arbor, Michigan some years ago. We were there helping in a little church. And this lady, she'd just come out of the Free Methodist Church. And she really hadn't heard holiness preach. And the pastor, boy, he'd laying it on. I mean, he was a pouring it on. And I was just blessed in my soul. Amen. And you know something? She got sanctified holy. Hallelujah. Why, she'd never heard it. She didn't know anything. And she'd come to church and her dress would be way up here above her knee. And I'd have tried to cover it up. I had a bony knee as that. And you couldn't help from seeing it. Amen. I said some of these people that tries to show themselves, they couldn't stop a pig in a 2-foot alley. It's a bow-legged, knock-kneed, ugly. And some of these men, you know, wearing these shorts. God have mercy, that makes me sick. Amen. Why don't you put some clothes on? Act like humans. Amen. I seen an old man today. He come through there and he's all bow-legged. And he didn't have anything. Shorts, you know. I thought, bless his poor soul. I felt sorry for him. I looked like a dog had got a hold of him, tore him off, and just left the strings, you know. Amen. Boy, we got him in the church, does the same thing. Amen. Got him in the church, does the same thing. Oh, now, Brother Watt, sure. No. Just follow some of them. Amen. Find out where they're going on their vacation. And sneak around, get your toupee and put it over, you know, so they couldn't see how much. Wear your glasses way down low, you know. Take your teeth out so you're always sunk in. Just kind of disguise yourself a little bit and just kind of sneak around and see how they act when they're away from home. Hello. You'd be surprised where people go when nobody knows, they look around. Huh? Lord, help us. You know why they do that? Because they're not sanctified. I wonder if they're even justified. Right. Amen. God was so merciful. God turned many a drunkard away from the home, friend. Oh, Lord, help us. Storms turned away from home. I was telling you about this lady. She said, Lord Jesus, and that tornado come through Ann Arbor. And she got her Bible and she stood right in the door. Now you can say this fanaticism if you want to. I don't care what you call it. But she stood and said, Lord, you promised that you wouldn't let nothing come nigh my dwelling. And Lord, I'm doing my best to serve you. I've given my whole heart to you. And God lifted that tornado over top of her house, never left a leaf in her yard, and swept out the whole block on both sides. And here she was sitting there in that little old house by herself. Huh? God said that He wouldn't let nothing come nigh our dwelling. And she pled the blood and believed it. And God just lifted her right over. I wonder how we pray. How we believe. Lord, help us. But you know the blessed thought that I want to share with you tonight and hurriedly. Here come old Caleb and Joshua. Brother, they had evidence. They cut him a big old pole. And amen, Caleb in front and Joshua behind, or vice versa, however they want to do it. I don't know which one was first. But they put a big old pot of grapes, you know, great big old pot. And they're about 6 foot tall and that thing was dragging around. How do you know? I just assume it was. Can you prove it wrong? Huh? And there's wiping honey off. And I don't know where they got that. Probably killed a coon up there and took his hide and got it full of honey. And brother had it on his side. Oh, boy, it's good. Hallelujah. This is evidence going to get. Don't eat it all. We got to have something to show them what's back there. And about that time, they come to the river. Caleb said, we're going to have to cross this river. Joshua said, wait a minute. And he got a great big old grape about that big, and he sucked all the pulp out and put it over his head so he wouldn't get his hair wet. You said, man, what a fanatic. Can you prove he didn't? Huh? Amen. Biggest grapes there was. Canaan had everything.
Sure.
Honey, hallelujah. Woohoo! Praise God. When I get to heaven, as I said the other night, I tell you, God's going to give a desire of our heart. Amen. And I'm going to eat all the lemon pie that they'll have in heaven. You say, you like lemon pie? I'd rather have lemon pie than anything I know to eat. Amen. But I can't have it unless it's sugar-free and it's not worth eating. God help us. What are you talking about? But they wouldn't believe the evidence. People shouting the praises of God, but they still don't believe. Oh, that's just a bunch of fanatics up there at that church of Eisenhower. They're just a bunch of old fanatics. They carry on and act silly. You know. Oh, thank God, I'm glad there's a few people still act silly. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us. God calls me a death angel, listen, to visit some other home. But did you know mercy can be abused? Your day is coming. Amen. Finally, God gave them up and cut them off. God's love can be exhausted. Amen. Friends, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, if we don't know where we stand with God, don't tie His hands. Don't limit God. For God can do the miraculous. What seems to be impossible, He can do it if we let Him. I want one of our pianists to come if they would please.